The first reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, commencing at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit. Well, there you have it. Don't worry about getting coronavirus. I can now sit down. But I wonder if there's anything in your life right now that you are worrying about. Children, grandchildren, jobs, money, health, and of course the dreaded spread of coronavirus. I think we need to acknowledge that we are worriers, and we all have things that we can worry about. So what does God have to say to us? So we have a wonderful passage where Jesus has much to say about worry. And there's one main thing, one central principle, one clear idea that he wants to get across. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Sometimes I have to tell my wife that. That last bit, don't worry about what you're going to wear. But what was Jesus's main teaching on worry? Very simply, he says, don't. He says that it is possible to face the realities of life without anxiety. You see, there's a difference between worrying and having concerns. It's quite normal to have concerns when you're planning something, you're doing something, you're uncertain about the future, but that's just God's little prompt to you to make appropriate plans, to aim off for what could go wrong. Worrying is when you kind of sit there biting your nails, very, very anxious. So he tells us why, and the reason, the first reason, is that it doesn't help. It's common sense. Jesus says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Jesus says, don't worry, because it's not actually going to help anything. It's not going to contribute a thing. And what Jesus doesn't add, but we all know to be true, is not only does worrying not help, but it can actually hurt us. Because when you worry, you can pay a huge emotional toll. It's amazing how something as seemingly small and as innocent as worry can become to cripple your life. But that's not all. There's a physical toll. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famous Mayo Clinic once wrote that worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who have died of worry. There you go. So you can now start worrying about worrying too much. Now, we've made the word worry perhaps too innocent, too safe, too benign, because it can cause us hurt. Now, but that's not the only reason Jesus gave for not worrying. Take a look at his next statement in verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, the second reason Jesus gives for not worrying is because God already knows what it is you're worrying about. You see, what's happening when you worry is you're acting like God isn't even aware of you or of your life or what is going on in your heart. It's like you don't think he's even in the picture, perhaps even that he's not even listening to your prayers. And Jesus says that is not true. God knows all about what it is that's worrying you. He knows about the problem, he knows about that person, he knows about that situation, he knows about that need. Jesus is intimately acquainted with you and your life, and that includes your problems. And the third reason is that God cares. It's not just that God knows about what you're going through, but he cares. Jesus goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? He cares about you and then says, oh, you of little faith. You see, we have to listen to this teaching from God. If there's one central truth to the whole Bible, one key to what God is trying to communicate to you on a personal level, it is this: you matter to him. God is not some harsh, capricious, mean, unfeeling being who's going to reward you with everything you deserve, who's removed from your life and doesn't care about what happens to you. That's just not the God we believe in. Jesus taught that you matter to God. What you're going through right now matters to him. He genuinely, passionately, lovingly cares. Many of us are parents. Many of you are grandparents. There isn't anything in the world you wouldn't do for your child, is there? There isn't anything we wouldn't give if we could. Why? Well, because they are our child, and it matters in the same way to God. We are his children. You matter to him, and he cares about you. You see, the reason why we're all here on the planet, the purpose we're all here for, which of course so many people who don't have a faith struggle with this existential question, why are we here? What's my purpose in life? It's because we were made to be in relationship with God. God made us to be in relationship with him. But we messed up. We decided to do our own thing, go our own way. And we didn't want to be in relationship with God. We wanted to be the God of our own lives, to be in charge. We wanted to call the shots ourselves. That's what the sin in our life is all about. It's just rebellion, and it can all be traced back to wanting to live our lives the way we want to live them, instead of being in a loving relationship with God and allowing him to lead us. I imagine those of us who have wayward parents, I mean, this must really resonate. You know, all we want is for our children to be in relationship with us and to do as we know is best for them. But of course, you know, when I was 16, I wanted that little motorbike. My mother said, no, don't do it. You're going to hurt yourself. No, I knew best. And I hurt myself. Several times over on a variety of different motorcycles. But anyway, but my mother's care for me never stopped. God's care for us never stops. And instead of just wiping us out in anger, his love and care reached out again to us in the person of Christ. So no matter what happens, Jesus says that you can count on the fact that God knows all about it. And cares about you and what you are going through more than you could possibly imagine. Well, so we've got the main thing, don't worry, and some healthy reasons why you don't have to worry, but Jesus isn't finished. He ended his teaching on this subject by giving us two very specific, very important steps we can take to avoid, important steps to a worry-free life. First of all, Jesus sets out for us that we need to put God first. It may sound trite, but hear what he says, verse 31. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The first step to a worry-free life is to put God first. I should have asked for that wonderful song to be prayed, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That was my fault. So the first step towards a worry-free life is to put God first, because when you put God first, you put yourself in his hands. You're not insisting on being in control yourself. When you put God first in your life, you're letting God take the steering wheel, so to speak. And when you let God do that, there's nothing to worry about. Now, of course, putting God first doesn't mean that God will suddenly eliminate every single challenge from your life that might cause you worry. But it means that no matter what happens in your life, you don't have to worry, because God is in control. That's why the worry-free life begins by letting God lead, and I mean really lead. So that's the first step, put God first. But the second step Jesus gave for living a worry-free life, let's look at that. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that so true? The second step is to not go farther than today. Take it one day at a time. I know someone who's very dear to me who will get a cold or something, and their worry will start to think, well, you know, it could be flu. And then when they've worried about that long enough, or it could be pneumonia, will actually, you know, a couple of days down the line, it then becomes, this could be lung cancer, in fact. and they're starting to worry about, well, if I have lung cancer, who's going to look after me? Where? And I'm sitting there thinking, hold on a moment. You're kind of worrying about what might be happening in 6 months' time. And if I wasn't there to say, could you just be quiet and desist from that? We end up in this downward spiral, worrying about what might or might not happen in a year's time. It's absolutely insane. So just treat one day at a time. I know it's a cliche, and that's what walking through life one day at a time is about. Something so true that it goes without saying, but we do need to say it. We need to hear it over and over again. Take it one day at a time. So to conclude, here's the question. What are you worrying about? And maybe more importantly, why are you worrying about it? Take time to pray about what it is that's worrying you. Give it to God. Hand it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, you're in charge. I'm handing it over to you. Now, I reckon probably everyone here is worrying about something, okay? So why don't we all pray together? Heavenly Father, in a moment of quiet, we offer you what we are now worrying about. Lord, we say to you that we know that you care for us. Lord, we say to you that we trust you with that worry or those worries. And we're going to place those worries in your hands. For the sake of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.